Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Kansas City-based guitarist, composer, and educator Alex Frank. Born in St. Louis and raised in Topeka, Kansas, he is a big part of the current KC scene with a regular weekly gig at the Green Lady Lounge. He is also a lecturer in jazz studies at the University of Kansas, where he got his master's degree from. We cover his life in Kansas City, his history, COVID, and the future, along with a lot more. Enjoy.
Joe DiMino, Neon Jazz Radio. What's up, man?
Hey, not too much. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking a minute out today.
Oh, man. Thank you for allowing me to do this interview. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, man. So before we get into what you do, I want to know, how did you survive COVID? You know, that was quite a tumultuous time for especially musicians. And now that we're kind of coming out of it, how did you deal with that time period, that two-year period?
It was a tricky time, but luckily I kind of had a couple gigs going on. So I had actually started teaching lessons through Zoom about 6 months prior to the world completely shutting down through this company called Musician Core. It's this guy here in Lenexa owns an online lesson company. So I kind of had some infrastructure that was already there to, you know, be able to support myself through teaching, you know, not even though in-person lessons, you know, were completely not happening for, you know, the better part of a year. I was also a graduate teaching assistant at KU at the time. So I was doing that, staying busy, doing a lot of teaching actually. So I did a few of those like live stream, you know, gigs, but it was always very strange and weird. So I was mainly, yeah, in school, then teaching online lessons, and then just trying to, you know, I'd been in school at that point for like 5 or 6 years straight. So I was just, you know, trying to, you know, figure out some other things in my life outside of music as well. So I got into gardening and like bike riding and exercising and stuff like that as well. So just trying to keep balanced amidst all of the chaos in the world.
Yeah, all the pandemic habits, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm curious, I know you have teaching going on, but as far as gigs, what's going on with you these days now that the world's been kind of opening up and things are happening more?
Yeah, so I've been very fortunate to have gotten a great slot playing at the Green Lady Lounge every Saturday night from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. And that's with my trio. It's usually organ trio. I try and kind of switch it up week to week, but lately I've been playing with either Taylor Babb on drums or Jade Harvey on drums, and then Dawson Jones on organ, Brian Ward on organ. I've played with Matt Villinger a few times, but that's kind of my main steady gig right now with my own group, which has been really great because I studied composition in school and I really enjoyed composing. And because of, you know, the current situation of the Green Lady only, you know, having bands that play original music, it's really forced me to write a lot. And so I've learned a lot through that process of writing and, you know, trying stuff out on the bandstand, seeing what works, what doesn't. So that's been a really exciting gig for me lately. Other than that, I do a lot of sideman work with people around town, just whoever needs a guitar player for a gig. Coming up, I'm playing with Brandon Draper Quartet at Corvino, so I'm really looking forward to that. Bob Bowman's going to be on bass. Haven't had the opportunity to ever play with him, so he's a legend, and I'm extremely excited about that. Other than that, yeah, mainly Green Lady and just a lot of sideman work.
Yeah, Brandon Draper's a beast, and I thought Bob, the last I spoke with him was a few months ago. He was in Montana. He did a duo album with Josh Nelson.
I got to meet Josh a few years ago. He's a great pianist. He was at KU doing a master class. I think he knows Matt Otto pretty well. He's one of the LA guys. So
I'm always convinced that the Green Lady is like a vampire lounge. It's always like dark and red and just has that whole thing. So that 11 to 2 a.m. slot has to be when all the vampires come out.
<You know>? Yeah. It's great though. So, it's usually packed and always a good time. So
that time slot in that place. I mean, I think Kansas City sometimes there's just a certain amount of people that don't understand how insane that venue can get on the weekends, especially late at night. It's great to see.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about where you were born and raised and how music and more specifically jazz became your focus.
Yeah, so I was I grew up in Topeka. I was born in St. Louis actually, but we moved to Topeka before I was like 2 or 3 or something like that. So grew up in Topeka. I didn't start playing until I was, I think, like 8 or 9 years old. I was like into trying to play sports and stuff, but realized I wasn't athletic at all. And so I decided to quit, but my parents decided that, you know, you should get some sort of other hobby, you know, happening in your life. So you're not just playing video games all day. So I was like, I want to learn guitar. And so they got me a guitar for like my 8th or 9th birthday and then enrolled me in lessons. And that was kind of the stipulation. It's like, okay, if you want to keep the guitar around, you know, you have to practice and actually, you know, learn how to play this thing. So my first teacher was this guy, Raul Gomez in Topeka. He was actually a flamenco player, which is kind of funny because it kind of comes around full circle. I actually studied flamenco for like 6 months with Bo Bledsoe for this one gig I had at KU. But anyway, yeah, he was a flamenco teacher, but he was teaching a lot of beginners at the time. So I was, you know, just working out of the Hal Leonard books and eventually decided I wanted to learn rock and roll. And that's pretty much what I was on until I was like halfway through high school. I was like learning, you know, classic rock, you know, AC/DC, Ozzy, all that stuff that you have to learn as a, you know, teenage guitar player growing up in Topeka, Kansas. So yeah. And then about, let's see, I switched teachers probably, you know, I was like 12 or 13. This guy, Pete Larson, he's a great teacher in Topeka. He kind of hip me to more, I don't know how to describe it. So just stuff that's not like 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s, like rock and grunge and stuff like that. Bands like Steely Dan, stuff like that, a little bit more harmonically adventurous, a little trickier, you know, more intricate music and stuff like that. And that, and through that, you know, I feel like that kind of expanded my ears. I enrolled in jazz band in high school, really loved it. And then they kind of pushed the Topeka Jazz Workshop youth band on me. So I auditioned for that and got to work with Craig Trinan for a couple of years doing that. Met some other great musicians at the time. And so through that, I think I also heard about like the KU jazz camps. And this, I think this was probably the most, you know, formative experience for me at that time. I was going to the KU jazz camp for a couple of years in a row, getting to finally, you know, I'd heard a lot about Danny Embry, but I was like too young to go up to Kansas City and like check him out at playing at clubs and stuff like that. So I finally got to meet him and like study from him for like one lesson. Cause when you're at the KU jazz camp, you can like often take like a lesson or two with like, you know, one of the faculty there. So I got like one lesson and he gave me a bunch of sheets of music that I just studied religiously for like, you know, the next year until the next jazz camp came around. So that was super cool. That was like an incredible experience for me at the time. Cause you know, growing up at Topeka, there's not really anywhere to go out and see live jazz, unfortunately. But that was awesome. You got to spend like a whole week listening to, you know, all these artists they would bring in, you know, from the area. You get to play in a combo and a big band with other really great musicians, other great high school musicians at the time. And so that's just kind of, I feel like at that point in time, I kind of got bit by the bug and really, really started digging in and working on jazz, which is eventually what I went to school for at KU. Actually, when I went to, did my undergrad, I was enrolled for music education for 5 semesters, and then I realized I didn't want to be a band director. I think I realized that pretty early on, but it took me a while to ditch that and then just do jazz completely. I was actually double majoring in music education and like jazz performance or whatever that degree is. But yeah, about halfway through, I decided to just pursue jazz guitar specifically entirely.
Right on. So what was the first live jazz show you ever saw that blew you away?
Oh man, the first live, I feel like I saw, it was probably actually Danny and the Sons of Brazil. I think we went to, buddy of mine at the time in high school, his dad would like take us up to Kansas City every once in a while. And I think I saw like Sons of Brazil, I think Louis Wine Dive. It was in a different location than it is now. But I think I remember that. I remember seeing that gig, being really blown away by actually like hearing Danny play for the first time. So
talk to me a little bit about what you like the best about the Kansas City jazz scene. What's the greatest part of being involved with it?
Man, I feel like there's like so many great things happening right now in the scene. I think just like like literally everybody I meet is like so like friendly and like willing to like collaborate with you. And, you know, everybody's like very supportive scene, I feel like. So if you have something you want to do, you know, you'll have musicians that'll support you or like want to play with you, or, you know, it's a very, very tight knit supportive scene. And there's also just like a ton of places to play and work. And I feel like it's a very robust and thriving scene right now. There's lots of different things happening, whether it's like straight ahead or, you know, more like hip hop sort of stuff that's happening. So it's just a very supportive and diverse scene right now.
So what is it that you look forward to the most being a musician? What's the part of this that brings you the most joy?
I love composing and, you know, playing my, you know, like the music that I write for people. So that's something that had really grown on me, you know, about when I was like halfway through my undergrad. We were playing in combos and stuff, and then, you know, Matt Otto encouraged us all in the combo that we were in to like write for the combos and stuff. And so I wasn't, you know, getting out to Kansas City a whole lot at that time. So mainly my main, you know, performance avenue was like through the school and stuff, but I got to, that was like a very safe and collaborative space for me to like write and try things out and experiment. And that to me is, it's still very relevant to this day for me. I really love writing and experimenting, you know, the band and, you know, putting bands together, seeing how people interpret, you know, the music that you write, things like that. It's very rewarding. It's also kind of a challenge. It's like a puzzle for me too. So, and I feel like it's kind of nice too, because then, you know, as you go through your career, like looking back, you know, I probably have written like, you know, 30 to 50 tunes at this point. You can kind of see the evolution, you know, like the influences and, you know, where you were at the time, you know, in terms of like, you know, what you knew, like the, you know, the compositional things you were into doing, you know, how your style changes over time. So it's kind of an interesting aspect of it as well.
So if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see any musician in the history of jazz, where are you going? Who are you going to see?
Oh, man. Probably Wes Montgomery. He's always been like the GOAT for me, for at least for like jazz guitar. I remember the first time I ever heard him in high school. I think one of our high school band directors played that track 4-on-6 from the Incredible Jazz Guitar album, and that just blew me away. I've been obsessed with that, his sound and how he plays ever since. So supposedly, I think him and Coltrane played at, I think they were on a bill together at the Newport Jazz Festival or something like that. There was some gig where they played together. So if I could go back into a time machine, I would want to go to that and get a bootleg of that so I could listen to it today, because I don't think it exists anywhere.
Oh, I'm sure it doesn't. I'm sure it doesn't. Why do you love jazz?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a deep question. I just love, like I was saying, the collaboration, improvisation especially. I think earlier on, you know, when I was like kind of more into the, for me, I kind of transitioned out of like the rock, the heavy rock thing, getting into blues and, you know, and kind of the overlap there was like getting to like solo and improvise and stuff like that. You know, it was kind of like playing a rock and roll solo, except you had more freedom to do what you want and like really, you know, collaborate and respond and interact with the other musicians you're playing with. And so I feel like that thread has always kind of been there for me. So I just love the improvisatory aspect of jazz and just getting to collaborate with musicians in that way. And then, yeah, getting to compose and then improvise on your compositions or other people's tunes or standards or things like that. There's just, it's a very personal way of musical expression. And so I just love that aspect of it the most, I'd say.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately, and your students, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
Oh, man. I view myself as still a very green student, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, for myself, I'd say, you know, first and foremost, still a student. I'll always be a student of this music, music in general, I suppose. Student, I'd like to, you know, think that I'm a composer sometimes. And, yeah, just a guitar player, student, composer. Yeah. Kind of a deep question.
Cool, man. Yeah. Well, so if anyone wants to learn anything more about you, recordings, live gigs, anything going on, where's the best place for them to go out on the web?
Yeah, right now probably just Instagram. I'm working on building a website. I'm trying to, within the next year, get an album released. So I've got enough tunes. I'm trying to whittle things down to recording an album. So probably Instagram is the best place right now to keep up with me. I'll eventually have a website. So I've been kind of slacking in that whole department lately, the whole social media and professional musician stuff. So
it's all good. Instagram works, man. Alex, thanks for taking some time out today. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Lawrence, Kansas City, and spots all over the world giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Alex for his time, music, and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.